Part 19, Chapter 8. Kerr got on his breathe mask. He tiptoed over to the machine and picked it up, using only one arm. Then he tiptoed over to the door and suddenly swung it open as though walking out. A wave of breathe gas burst out of the room. Lars was standing there, frozen in the act of attaching a listening device to the door. He wore no air mask. The invisible puff of breathe gas hit Lars full in the face. He must have been in the act of taking a breath at that moment, for he rose on his toes like someone being strangled. He gagged. He reeled back. He fought for air. He started to turn blue. In another few seconds, he would start into convulsions.
Come on.
Johnny and Angus grabbed him, one on each arm, and rushed him back to clearer air. Angus fanned him with a metal plate he'd found on the floor. Gradually, Lars came back to life. The blue tinge faded. But what he said was...
What were you doing in there?
And he said it angrily.
No, no, laddie,
said Angus soothingly.
Here we are saving of your life and you're making mean sounds.
Lars was looking at Johnny with a peculiar expression on his face. Johnny went over to where Kerr was rattling the housing around in the car as though he had just put it there.
It's all right now. No cracks or metal faults in the housing. We better go see if it fits.
They drove off and left Lars lying there, gazing after them with that peculiar look.
Why is he looking at me that way?
Asked Johnny.
You better be careful. He's a crazy one, and he's the council's long nose and pry. He's got some idea that somebody named Bitter or Hitler was the greatest military leader in your history. And if you stand still for 10 seconds, he'll begin on you. It's some church. There's nothing wrong with religion, but plenty wrong with what he says. Turl wrecked his wits. But there wasn't much there in the first place.
But why that peculiar look at me?
Asked Johnny.
Natural suspicion. Say, you know, I feel a lot better since talking to you creatures. I sure am glad I'm different.
They stopped and got out below the top compound level where Turl's office was. They removed the housing from the car and struggled up the ramp with it. Just before they went in, Angus stopped them.
Why couldn't Turl fix this place up himself?
Kerr laughed.
When Johnny left here, he said to spread it that the place was booby-trapped. But that isn't all of it.
He indicated the door to Turl's office with a paw wave.
If the cyclos got out from the dormitory section, they could come here and kill anybody working here. Turl's pretty sure they'd kill him if they got loose. They hate him.
Wait, that means Turl will get them killed before he moves in here.
He put a hand on the door latch to the office.
You did debug this place and look for booby traps?
I had been tearing this place to bits waiting for you.